Question there?
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
What type of an environment should one live in? What type of surroundings, Master?
Congenial surroundings should be there, which should be helping in your way to spirituality. And that are people who are of good character, God-fearing, lovers of God, and loving of all humanity.
Congenial surroundings, living with people of good character, who are God-fearing, and who are trying to help all humanity. Now, if you people just sit here and look at Master, I'm going to come out and join you.
Let him start. You can sit down when that starts.
Is there no power at all now?
Yes. Why don't you get the other one? Anyway, we'll have it in the car. He's going to go get the other one. Yes, sir.
I was listening to the first moment of meditation. I feel the sound just to be accepted.
I think you have a wonderful idea. And the suggestion was that we have a few minutes meditation in your presence and with your grace while the sound is being brought back.
Welcome, dear. Sit in sweet remembrance of God. Forget everything else, even your own bodies. God is all alone. He wants everybody to come to Him all alone. Sit for a few minutes and then your sound is all right. So saints also say, this man body is the highest in all creation. It is next to God. Quran says when man body was set up, angels were asked to bow down before the man body. All scriptures speak very highly about man. It is a golden opportunity in which we can go back to our homes, true home, the home of our Father. So the Hadassah tell us, as Christ said, it is day He works. When night falls, nobody can work. The Masters also enjoin us, well, it is your daytime. You've got the man body. This is your daytime in which you can work to go back to God. When days pass away, nobody can work. They say, look here, God is all light. So you are also children of light. They say, God is all wisdom. And you are doves of the ocean of all wisdom. You are also have wisdom. So God is eternal, God is spirit, and we are spirit in man. If spirit does not die, is eternal, how can you fear to die? So they tell us, look here, this is the man body you have got, in which you can go back to your home. Ever since we were separated from God, so far we have not gone home. Otherwise, we would have been sitting in some another condition, state of mind. Those, so they enjoin It is high time a man body, this is the day for you have arisen. In this man body only to work, you can work to go back to God. But pity it is, they tell us to awake. This all scriptures tell us too. Vedas say, awake, arise, and stop not until the goal is reached. What is the goal before us? What is that goal which cannot be achieved in any other form of body? That is to know God. And to know God, one must know himself first. Because God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, by the mind or intellect. With intellect we can only understand to some extent what could be our goal and not further. So all masters who came in the past, in the East or the West, they all gave out, man know thyself. Of course, in their own languages, which were prevalent at that time. Greek philosophers said the same thing, Gnosis Theoton, Greek language, of course. Old Latins said the same thing in their Latin language, Nosi Tipsum. All Persian philosophers said the same thing, the ultimate goal of all knowledge is to know God. They say man has three aspects. Physical, he has got physical body, he has got intellect, but he is conscious entity. So if we have dwelt physically and intellectually, of course we have dwelt wonderfully. But if we are not dwelt spiritually, we are ignorant. We are not making the best use of the time we have got in the daytime of the man body that we have got. We should dwell spiritually too. So the masters come to make up that deficiency of spiritual development. We have given food to our body, we have become physically strong. Intellectually also we have advanced wonderfully, because all things are with you. We have visited moon and all other planets are being visited. We can go around the world in hours. We can hear from hundreds of miles who is speaking, what he is speaking, to radios and televisions. But with all these advancements, we are not happy. The reason why? Our intellect has given us inventions to make bombs, hydrogen bombs, neutron bombs. The world is afraid if this war begins, the world will come to an end. And the reason why? Because we have not dwelt spiritually. What to speak of spiritually, we have not even known little or nothing practically about that thing. Who we are, what we are, how can we know ourselves? How can we have the bread of life and water of life by coming in contact with the God into expression power? For that reason, had we dwelt that way, all the new invention would have gone to help humanity. Now it is going to destroy humanity. The masters say it is the daytime. Daytime of the man body you have got, in which you have to work. If you don't work, then result again night will come on, so that we won't be able to work. We'll go where we are attached. If our souls are attached to God, come in contact with God into expression power, then we'll go where we are attached. So man body is the highest in all creation in which we have got this is the daytime of our life, in which we can come contact, become contact in God with God. And ultimately we'll go to His feet where from we were separated someday. Now they tell us, well, look here, friend, brothers, God is all wisdom. You are also a drop of the ocean of all wisdom. You should have done something while it was day to come in contact with God. You must have found God by this time. But you have not made even the preparation to meet God. Who will tell us we are wise? Now you'll find that reflection of all wisdom is within each one of us. Even a child, when he talks, he considers that he knows best of all. You see, that's a reflection there. So this is the high time for rising above body consciousness, to know ourselves. The reason reply comes. People say, well, what do we get if we just awake and during the day, as it is day of the man body, you work hard, what do you get? You'll get a very wonderful thing, which is God Himself. He's the maker of all creation. Worldless came into expression called world, and world is the cause of all creation that controls all creation, permeates all creation. He also resides in you. This man body is a wonderful house you live in. It has got so many holes, apertures of the eyes, of the ears, of the nostrils, mouth to underneath. With all these doors open, we cannot run away out of it. Body works as long as we are in the body, but we remain in the body as long as we are controlled by some power in the body. That controlling power is God, into expression power, which is called word, naam, shabd, and kalma. So whenever masters come, they always address to the people at large. They don't look to the labels we are carrying. They look to us that we are man, the highest in all creation. And man is composed of physical body, intellect, and himself is a conscious entity. So to know oneself is the first step towards that. But how can you know yourself? Is a matter of practical self-analysis, rising above body consciousness, knowing oneself and knowing God. Now we know ourselves only at the level of feelings or drawing inferences. They are both subject to error. Seeing is above all. Seeing is believing. Seeing is becoming. So, this practical self-analysis of rising above body consciousness is had at the feet of a master who is adept in that way, through whom grace of God is working. He will give you this demonstration by giving you a sitting, by withdrawing your attention from all outside. Attention is the outward expression of our soul. God is all attention. Our attention is identified with the man body, outgoing faculties, and the world around us. We are identified with it so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. So it is a matter of pure self-analysis. The Master, I say this is my spectacle, I can put it out. This is my coat, I can put it out. This is my handkerchief, I can put it out. This is my watch, I put it down. We say it is my body. We say it is my outing faculty. Can we put it out? So it is a practical self-analysis of rising above, withdrawing our attention from all outside and from the body below. Know oneself and you'll see that power is controlling us in the body. So fortunately, whom we want to meet, that also resides in this man body. That's the controlling power keeping us in the body. And we who want to go to him, we are also in the man body. So man body is the true temple of God. But the Master tells us, when you know all this, why don't you, it is daytime, arisen, arise, awake. And it is for them the day to work. It is for us also the day to work. Their day is so long in the body, they come to take back souls back to God. They work while they are in body. Our also daytime has arisen on the man body we have got. When it is time to rise above body consciousness, know ourselves and know God, who also resides in the man body. When you go to a master, then he always advises to tap inside, as Emerson says. Those who go to the master, they always advise you to read this true scripture of God. It is the biggest Veda, biggest Quran, biggest Bible, biggest Sikh scripture. You know, in six scriptures or other scriptures, what is given there? Those masters who rose above body consciousness, traversed into the beyond, whatever they experienced, those experiences are contained in the scriptures with us today. We are fortunate in the 20th century that we have got the scriptures of all masters who came in the past so far. Had we come before them, those masters' golden words, which are worth the emeralds and gold, they would not have been with us. So masters, what they say, they have seen and then given out. They gave out the same thing to all the world around. To whom? To man. They say, man, know thyself. You are who you are. You are conscious entity. You are having the man body. This is the day time in which you can know yourself and know God. So whenever they come, they give the same basic teachings to all masters. They help them to know themselves by giving a demonstration how to rise above body consciousness. Also, open the inner eye or the single eye to see him. In what way he can be seen? Can you see the absolute God, the worldless state of God? Nobody has seen, nobody can see. But when God wanted, I one and wish to be many, there was vibration. Vibration results in two things, light and sound. So God is light, God is music of the spheres. Nada, the voice of God, Kalam Kaleem. So man, it is said in Quran, when you are sent unto the world, he puts seals on the eyes and seals on the ears. So when they come, they manifest themselves in the man body, world made flesh, they come to unseal, break the seals from the eyes, they begin to see. They break the seal on the ears and they begin to hear. They didn't know. You see, the Christ said, what you see, the old prophets could not see. Whatever you hear, the old prophets could not hear. I have come to make those people see who do not see. And those who see, they may be blind. What is meant by that? We see outside when our attention is identified with the world outside. When it is withdrawn from outside, you cannot see outside. This is what he meant, who see, they may be blind. Their attention should be drawn, withdrawn from all outside and put in whole attention, tap inside within the body, which is the true temple of God, and they will see, begin to see light. So the masters come to bring back children to God. So it is a great blessing to meet somebody who is in body, in whom the grace of God is working. And if we sit by him, we will meet with the same fate that they have got. Every saint has his past and every sinner future. Any father would like his son to be just up to his standard. Any king would not like his sons to be ministers, but he would like to become kings. So any saint who comes to the world, he wants everybody to become saints. So fortunate we are, we have got a man body. It is the daytime in which we have to awake, shake off all lethargic sleep, know ourselves, and to know God. To know ourselves is not possible. Those who have got some backgrounds, that's another thing. They might have got something to see and something to hear, but they even don't know what to do further. They still want further guidance to come to the feet of someone who is on the earth plane working through the grace of God. So we cannot do ourselves, we cannot know ourselves. Why? Because our attention, which is the outward expression of the soul, is identified with the outgoing faculties, body and the world around us, so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. We cannot discriminate ourselves from the body. We are working at the level of the body, and body is changing every moment of life, being made of matter. All world around us is also made of matter, changing at the same speed as our body is changing. Two things are changing at the same speed, and we are identified with it. We see it is stationary. It is an optical illusion. How to come out of that? So masters give us a demonstration how to come out of that, how to rise above body consciousness, how to be reborn. So this has been the teaching of all masters, basic teachings. Those who came in contact with that, they had it. So where the world philosophies end, their religion starts. Whatever methods, practices we follow, they all relate to the outgoing faculties, intellect, our body, limbs of the body. Those who are already identified with it and do such like practices and methods which relate to these things, how can they rise above body consciousness? So need comes someone, if this real urge is there within us, yearning, God is within us, he watches, my child is after me. So he makes some arrangement to bring him in contact with somebody in which he's working. Grace is working. He's a man with eyes. We are man with no eyes. The terminology of the saints, we are all blind. So what blind in the terminology of the saints means not that those who have got no eyes on the forehead, but whose inner eye, third eye, single eye is not open. So they come to make people see who do not see, and those who see, they may be blind. So this is golden opportunity we have got the man body. Those who have got yearning within us, when fire burns, oxygen comes to help. There's food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. That water of life and bread of life is already within us in this very man body. The master don't do anything, don't put anything from outside. They simply withdraw our attention from outside, take up to the seat of the soul in the body where that bread and water life is there already. And that is the light of God and the music of the spheres. And that takes you where? You come in contact with that, that will take you straight back to the place from where it emanated. That is to absolute God. This is the natural yoga or the sociable yoga which is given by the masters which even the children can enjoy. Young, old, all can enjoy. So you are fortunate. You have got that urge within you. That is why you all are gathered together here. I am really glad to be amongst you. I came twice last time. First in 1955, then in 1963, now since 1972, after now long 9 years. I feel joy to be amidst you, those who are hungry after God. So, who creates this hunger, he also supplies the bread of life too. It is he who sends and it is he who gives. So I'm very much pleased, very much feel joy. I'm one of you sitting. We are all children of God. We should go back to God. Don't do such like things which may bring us back again to the world. Our master used to say, one man's, there's some prisoners in the prison house. One man's term of prison was to expire. He was telling his brother, prisoner, look here, brother, keep this thing with you, I'm again coming back. So if you are tied to the world, naturally you will come back. If you are tied to God, it's daytime to be tied to God, then you will go to the feet of the God. This in few words, I wish you a digest. What we are after, how can we have it, and where can we have it. So thank you for gathering together. I'm also pleased to come from far east, but that inspiration from God guided me here.
Meditation, rather. I hope all of you will use great...
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. This morning our reader is Helen von Aldenbrook. Are you there, Helen?
Yes, I am.
Okay, carry on.
Thank you. Today's talk is from March of 1969, Satsandesh. The title is Search for Truth. Last time I read first part, it's a rather long talk, so I had to break it into three parts, so we'll do the second part this time, and the next time I read, I'll finish Search for Truth. We are all brothers and sisters in God. All relationships of the world remain in the world when the soul departs. On the other hand, the guru knits us into a kind of brotherhood which is everlasting. How? He places a common target before us, the ideal of God realization. When the goal is the same, we have to tread the common path leading unto the goal. Ultimately, we shall all meet in God. Once I questioned my master as to how all the disciples would meet in the end, when each one has his own time and measure of advance on the spiritual path. Hazur replied, "We have all to go across the river of life. Some may ferry over by the first boat, and some by the next. Ultimately, the port of disembarkation is the same for all. We shall all meet at that port. It is therefore said, the guru seeks his own and unites them in true relationship, which is eternally the same. This is the kind of relationship in which we are united by the Master. The people of the world come and go in their own turn and are soon forgotten. But the godly people remain forever with us, both here and in the hereafter. They speak to us of things which are dear to us. They, in fact, are our real companions. The birds of the same feather fly together. A devotee of the Lord delights in hearing of the Lord. We have respect for all religious leaders, no matter to what social order they belong, or wherever they may happen to be. The distinctions are only on the bodily level. The soul is the reality and has no caste, color, or creed. From the level of the soul, we are all equal. Herein lies unity in diversity. We have forgotten it. An awakened soul brings home this fact to us. He makes us conscious of it. As we transcend the body, our consciousness expands and gets nearer to all consciousness. In this way, we become conscious of the purpose and plan of God. Then we realize that we are the children of one God, and all of us have to live together as brothers and sisters in God. Let all of us unite together as friendly maidens and sing praises of the Lord. After having taken to heart the lessons in God love from a God man. In Oriental terminology, God alone is considered as the bridegroom, while all the souls emanating from him are regarded as brides or damsels. Those who commune with the Lord enter into an eternal wedlock and are forever happy. The earthly unions are short-lived, maybe 10, 50, or even 1,000 years if possible. Guru Ram Dass, therefore, advises us that we should learn to sit together as friends in God and take delight in nothing but talking of God. We can sing praises of the Lord only after a Satguru has given us an inner contact with God power. Without this actual experience, we do so only after reading of God in the scriptures or hearing of him from others. This singing is of a secondary type, but when we sing after having seen the reality and tasted of the divine intoxication, our singing would be of a transcendental nature. What a world of difference between the two. The songs may be the same, but the singers are different. The devotees of the Lord remain in touch with the Lord. They see him face to face. They live in a state of perpetual intoxication. When they sing of God, they do so in a way all peculiar to them. Theirs is a typical rhythm and strain. Their songs automatically flow from the depth of their heart and deeply affect those who hear them. We cannot get this taste and flavor from the songs of those who have no practical experience of God. With an experience of God power in the God-man, we cannot but spontaneously sing of him. Satguru is the fountain of the power and spirit of God. He gives us a taste of that elixir. In his company, our intellect grows still, and we begin to rise above it. Without this integrated experience, our songs, however sweet and melodious, are of a second rate. Why? Because our intellect all the time goes on thinking of one thing or the other. This perpetual vibration in the mental zone proves a great hurdle in our way. We may start with the best of intentions and cleanest of motives, but we cannot stop the intellect from working. In the depths of the mind, undercurrents are perpetually in motion. In course of time, even the good custom corrupts itself. All thoughts, whether good or bad, take us into expansion. This being the case, our mind never gets stilled. Without stilling the mind, we cannot move ahead. It is only the mind in equipoise that can shoot ahead and find its way out. The question is one of single-mindedness. By sitting together in a genial company, we think and talk of the love of God and love of the God-man. This helps us to gather our scattered thoughts. It is therefore said, "Sit ye together as members of a single family. Sit down, all sink down all differences, and direct your attention Godward." There is a great blessing in sitting together. The Lord hath said, "Where two or three persons sit in my name, I am with them." Again, in sitting together, we try to understand the point of view of each other. When we learn the correct position, we become tolerant of others' views. And still more, we escape from the evil of double-mindedness. When like-minded persons meet, they would naturally talk of nothing but what is of common interest, God and the love of God. This would lead to singleness of purpose. Thus, we are saved from idle talk of unduly praising or disparaging others. It is therefore said, when the entire creation is the manifestation of the holy light, the manifest beings are nothing but holy at the core of their being, no matter what their acts. The duality between man and man is only at the surface. Nothing is good or bad, but thinking makes it so. One may be rich and another poor. One may appear to be good or bad, but we cannot pass judgment on them. Each one has the power of God in him. We are all one on the body level, as all human beings take the same pattern within and without. We are born alike with equal privileges from God. God made man a conscious entity after his own image. Man is a part of all consciousness. It is by experience that we come to this conclusion. Maybe after getting through the storms and stresses of life in the living present or in previous incarnations, man is always in the making. He may learn today or tomorrow or at some distant date. We are all on the way. The real happiness lies somewhere else. It comes only by union with the whole. This is why Guru Ram Dass advises us to sit together in love of the Lord, for it would give us clarity of vision and we will stand on terra firma. Besides this, there is no other remedy on the sense plane. O God, grant unto Nanak his heart's desire. Bring him face to face with the reality so that he may have peace eternal. With this prayer, we come to the finale of the beautiful psalm. This is the highest type of prayer which an awakened person would make. Now we take a hymn from Guru Arjan, the fifth in succession to Nanak. Let us see what he has to say in this context. This talk, too, is similar to the previous one from his immediate predecessor, Guru Ram Dass. In the bottom of my heart, there was a keen desire to meet my beloved. Somehow or other, the perfect master has graciously fulfilled my long-cherished desire. The question, once again, is of earnestness. Do we really need God? Sometimes we do ask for God. Even our intellect also, at times, feels the need for God. But does our mind want God? This is the crux of the problem. We ask for things with mental reservations, only if they are of any use to us on the physical plane. On the other hand, the mind is entirely dyed in the color of the world. It has no time to think of anything else. Mind has a great potential in it. What the mind wants, it fervently prays for it. At times, it even cries for it. God comes in only as the means for the satisfaction of the mind's worldly desires. And day and night, one thinks of nothing else. This is the actual condition of our mind. You can search it for yourself. Do you sincerely wish for God? No. We want him only as a means to an end, the end being physical pleasure and comfort. Otherwise, God has no meaning for us. It is a question of demand and supply. If we actually wish God, the law of nature comes to our aid. Where there is fire, oxygen comes to its aid. All that we need is to put our tongue, intellect, and mind on one level. Such an attitude increases the mind force. Where the mind force is strong, nothing can stand in our way. We must be true to ourselves, and then whatever may be our wish shall be fulfilled. If our prayers are truthful and arise from the contented mind, then hearing them, God calls us to himself, nay, draws us on to him. What is a truthful prayer? It is one that springs equally from the mind, the intellect, and from the tongue. Otherwise, we are not true to ourself and are deceiving ourself and our God. Why our prayers are not granted? because we ask amiss. To ask rightly what is necessary is the first condition. The second condition is that we should be contented with what we have and be grateful for them. Ingratitude is the greatest evil. What has God not given us? All that we need and much more. Have we ever offered a thanksgiving prayer for what he has done and the bounteous gifts supplied by him? If we fulfill these conditions of truthfulness and contentment with a sense of gratefulness, he would not deny us anything that we may happen to wish for. If we ask for God from God with a sincere mind, he would never deny us. On the contrary, he would draw us unto himself. He is the knower of our hearts and readeth us correctly. We cannot hide anything from him with all our cleverness and cunningness. He sees us right through what is passing in our mind and acts accordingly. We cry for bread. We cry for our losses. But we never cry for God. Of Namdev, the calico painter saint, it is said that once the balcony of his home crashed down, his home folk asked him to call a carpenter to carry out the necessary repairs. The devotees, as you know, hardly remember such things. He went out as usual and sat in the sweet remembrance of the Lord. He forgot himself. He forgot the world around him. He forgot the balcony and the carpenter. In the evening, he got up from his meditation and went home. His people asked him if he had arranged with a carpenter to do the job. "I am sorry, I forgot all about it. I shall certainly call the carpenter tomorrow," he said. Some days passed away like this. Everyone at home felt annoyed and threatened him with dire consequences if he did not bring the carpenter the next day. "I shall certainly bring the carpenter tomorrow," he replied. Strange as it may seem, Namdev again forgot to get the carpenter. A man of God is always absorbed in God. How can he think of the world and the worldly things? They are of no consequence to him. Again in the evening, when he woke up from his trance, he felt ashamed. But there was no way to get out of the impasse. He sorrowfully waded his way back to his home. God, foreseeing his sad predicament, had during the day gone to his house in the garb of a carpenter and set right the broken balcony. When Namdev reached home, he was dumbfounded to see the work. It was a piece of rare workmanship and had been done in an unusually short time. He could make out who the carpenter was. None but God's hand could do this miracle. A nightingale can alone understand a nightingale. The devotee knew that his God had done the job. He took courage and pressed on in to his lane. The neighbors flocked around him and inquired the wages that he settled with his carpenter for such a wonderful piece of work. He replied, "Love is the only wage that my carpenter demands." The next question was as to how the carpenter could be called. "My carpenter comes when one cuts himself completely from his family," he added. "You can now well understand the position. If you become his, he becomes yours. He then comes to you of his own accord without being called." Namdev was lost to himself in his devotion. He had never asked God to repair his balcony. God keeps the honor of his devotee for his name's sake. I would tell you of my own personal experience. It happened during the lifetime of my master, Hazur Baba Sawan Singh Ji Maharaj. My son was seriously ill. He was hovering between life and death. The physicians apprised me of the critical condition of my son. They even asked me to be prepared for the worst. They advised me to take a few days' leave so as to be near my son's sickbed. The next day happened to be a Sunday. I was due to give discourse at Amritsar. It was a duty assigned to me by my master. I got up at quite an early hour in the morning. The premonitory words of the physician were still ringing in my ears. I felt that life and death were in hands other than mine. What could I, after all, do? To carry out the behests of my master was, of course, in my hands. I decided to attend to my duty and let Hazur see to his. I accordingly left for Amritsar to play the role that had been allotted to me. The discourse was delivered as usual. The weather was hot and sultry. I finished my job at about 10 a.m. I left the auditorium an hour later. As I was halfway down from Biaz, I felt a strong urge to push on so as to have Hazur's darshan. I might have reached Biaz by 1:30 p.m. Hazur was taking his rest. Learning that I had come, he called for me upstairs. He sat up and inquired, "What about your son?" I replied, "He was ill and somewhat in a precarious condition, but I had to discharge the duty assigned to me. I could not do anything more, nor was it in my power to save him by remaining there." My words appeared to make Hazur quite anxious. For a while he sat in silence. I quietly said, "Hazur, whoever thinks of you is relieved of all his worries. How is it that you are feeling so much for me?" He replied, "Kripal Singh, you took the burden off your head, and I have to take it upon my shoulders. When you are so inclined to your duty, what else can I do? The scriptures tell us, the gracious Father hath so ordained. Whatever the Son asked for, that has to be granted. But what one should ask for, God or world? Nanak tells us, the humble Nanak simply asks for one thing. O Lord, plant thy lotus feet in my heart." This is what all the scriptures say. In the Holy Quran, we have, "I shall grant unto man what he desires." So the only thing to be desired is an intense longing for the Lord. If we are sincere in our search, we shall certainly get him. Once a little toddler was sitting all alone in a room. His mother was in the kitchen. The milk can was on the fire before her. The child wanted to stand up, but slipped and fell. Then he tried to pull himself up by supporting himself against the wall. His little hands did not find any catch hold, and he fell again. Then he saw the door curtain and stretched out his hands to help himself with. As luck would have it, the curtain itself slipped down the rod, and both came down upon him. In his helplessness, he began to cry for piteously, calling his mother. No sooner the mother heard his cry, she ran to the room without caring for the boiling milk and hugged him to her bosom. She took the baby and came back to the kitchen to attend to the milk. But it was too late to save the milk from spilling over. The child perhaps felt that he had known a trick of attracting his mother's attention. After some days, while sitting in the room, he again began to cry, "Mother, mother!" The mother could guess that he was idly indulging in a sing-song and did not turn up. The child slowly came to the kitchen and inquired as to what the mother was doing. She replied that she was busy making gruel. The child said he had thought that she was perhaps preparing some dainty dish much better than the milk, because she had not answered his call for a pretty long time. The mother replied, "My child, there is no anguish in your voice today." So you see, the question is one of inner craving. We crave for mundane things of the world and do not wish God. God only replies to the cry from the heart. He does not answer to our oral prayers. While we sit in worship, our mind is running after family affairs. Excuse me, we are not sitting in the temple of our heart, but are practicing idolatry. God would never come where there are so many idols to attract you and to keep you busy. You may better compare the state of your mind with that of the awakened souls. Guru Arjan's heart is aflame with the love of God and is keenly in search of ways and means to find his beloved. The only way to find God is first to find means to the end. God cannot be found without the help of a God-man. When you desire God with all your heart and soul, he himself provides the means. It is said that the simple squeak from a contrite heart reaches God quicker than the loud and long prayers offered in public by boastful people. When God resides in all hearts, he knows even the tiniest vibrations therein. He is the soul of our soul and is not sitting in high heavens. We can deceive ourselves. We can deceive the people of the world, but we cannot deceive the great power in us. If you are sincere in your love for God, God would surely come to your aid. His grace is beyond measure, and he would put some God-man in your way. It is a great blessing to meet a really awakened soul. If we keep playing in the world and do not turn towards him, the fault is ours. We must therefore strive to reach the door where he is standing. The moment we get near him, he will stretch out his hands to hold us and pull us up to him. Be assured, he will do so for his name's sake. This is his truth, and he will always stand by it. Thank you, Master.
Ellen, for the wonderful reading. Excuse me a minute, I'll do a count. So today there were 77 people at the satsang. Thank you everybody for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now please hang up your phone.